Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, well, well. We know that two guys have punched their tickets to race for the Bill France Championship Trophy next week at Phoenix. Christopher Bell rings the proverbial bell to be racing for that championship. I had an interesting day, had some radio woes that we will get into, taking our top 10 car and just kind of falling behind. Pit road boats and woes, as you guys know, Kyle Larson left a beach on the front stretch. We're going to dig into that with some in-car camera and break down that woe as well. We are presented by Mobile One today. Hope you guys buckle up because it's going to be a wild ride. This is Stacking Pennies.
Stacking them deep, selling them cheap.
It tastes like gasoline, rubber, and victory.
We're just out here stacking pennies.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to another installment of Stacking Pennies. I am Corey the Joy, driver of the number 7 Chevy Camaro, joined by my two buddies. To my right, Danielle Trotta.
Hi, guys.
How's it going?
Good.
You're very festive. You look like a pumpkin spice latte right now.
Perfect. I match the walls in here.
You do?
May not be a good thing.
That's okay. But wearing a pumpkin shaded sweater.
Very on trend.
Yes.
October.
To my left, round of 8.
Come on.
Competing front tire changer for the 12 Ford Mustang, Ryan Blaney, Ryan Flores.
Hopefully round of 4. Championship round. One more week till we find out.
You guys have as good a shot as any, but it's going to be a dog fight.
You got to be a dog if you want to be down there.
That's right. You going to be a dog or what?
I ain't going to be a cat.
Meow.
I'm allergic to cats.
Good. And shellfish.
And shellfish. Actually allergic to cats.
I'll break down my day real quick. We fired off. We had a really strong car. Qualified 20th, which it's good now that we're to the point as a team where we are aggravated about qualifying 20th. It wasn't very long ago we were like, hell yeah, 20th. We're going to freaking win the race today. There was a bit of a somber atmosphere after qualifying. Thought we could have been a little better, but we were in the hunt.
You think you missed it? Or do you think they missed the air pressure? Or what? Like, why do you think you should have been better?
Yep. I felt like we could have been. We were hoping for a second round. I left a little bit out there. The balance of our car is a little bit too tight, you know, and just every little minute detail now shows up more when you're in that 9th to 16th range, right? You have to be on the good side of it. And you have to make every adjustment and every, even, you know, preference to your driving style. You have to make sure those things all are dialed in. And we missed it a little bit, but we're going to continue to grow our notebook. Dropped the rag, and we were really good. We drove to 11th, and I'm like, oh, damn, we're going to drive to the lead. Tell them we're coming. Watch out.
Dale Jr. did on the broadcast.
Yeah, I mean.
He was giving y'all some
love. I wasn't even needing to really run the fence because the fence hadn't really come in yet. I was running the middle to lane 3, 3.5, and was just mowing guys down. I'm like, did I eat my Wheaties this morning, or what the hell happened? I think come to find out those guys started off their balances a bit freer, anticipating the track to go tight. I still thought we still had a decent amount of adjustability in our car. End of the first stage, I think we finished 13th in the stage, and I went to go relay the message of, hey, I'm starting to lose a little front turn here. Let's try to get in front of it. And I looked down, and my radio button was broken 3 pieces. So we raced the rest of the day with no radio button. So it was like old school Richard Petty, hand on the roof for tight, hand on the door for loose. And just we weren't able to stay in front of it. The track swung really hard, 2-3 numbers to the tight side, and the direction that Sparks went, I couldn't relate to him. Hey, like, taking rounds out of left rear is not making this thing any better. And he could see on SMT I was tight just by base off my steering wheel input. But as we continued to take left rear rounds out, it got the car free in and free off, so we lost our advantage. So we went from a 13th place car, 12th place car, to the next run we're a 15th place car, next run we're 18th place car. Those guys kept making their stuff incrementally better, and we just, by not making it better, we were essentially making it worse relative to everybody we were competing against. And that's just how small the freaking margins are, man. When you can't communicate and make your car better, talk it out, what direction you want to go, whether you want to do in the right side, left side, air pressure, you're going to get leapfrogged. So that was frustrating. It's just always something, right? It's just we need to clean those up. And I think that's some little things as a company we're going to try to get better at. But it was super encouraging to have that type of pace, one of the better mile and a halves that we've had. And unfortunately, we didn't have the results show for it. But
it was only push to talk, though, right? You could hear your spotter. Yeah. You could hear sparks. Yep. You just couldn't. You couldn't talk.
Yeah, it was like, hey, wiggle your car if you want a water bottle this pit stop.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
That's what they say?
Yeah. Or like, hey, pull it off the wall under green. Hey, pull it off the wall if you're loose. You know, like that.
Yeah, you got to do it. I mean, we did it. When we won the 99th with Blaney at Pocono, that's how we had to communicate everything.
Yeah.
Because they lost the radio, and it was like, hand on the roof, hand on the door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's that's like the you had the old Truex button in there.
Yeah.
The one you get hit.
Not working. I could just scream, damn it, and nobody hears me.
Oh, is that a lonely place to be?
It is a very lonely place to be. Surprisingly more lonely than usual. It's usually a pretty lonely place even though you talk to your friends, because my friends could talk to me and I couldn't talk back.
Oh. Damn it.
Yeah. But it was fun. Homestead's an awesome track. Gives you a lot of options. You're slipping and sliding around. Tire fall off was big. I think it was over 2 seconds. Obviously, you got guys ripping the fence. You got guys running off the fence. And you have somebody like Christopher Bell, playoff contender, round of eight.
Who saw that coming?
Is a lap down in the way. And they have just the depth of that team, right? They have engineers back at the shop. They're running countless different models of simulation with air pressure, wedge combinations to change the platform of the car. You get him a good pit stop or two, get him some track position. Next thing you know, that thing gets clean air and he's off to the races. You go from a guy lap down to a couple adjustments away from catching a break, you know, with a couple right time cautions, a couple good yellows, and you are racing for another championship, which is pretty bizarre. But you guys had a solid day overall, led some laps. Was the measuring stick to a Kyle Larson barreling into the barrels? That was interesting to watch.
Yeah, I thought we were, like, before the race, we were right on the grid in front of the four car, and a couple of four car guys came over and were like, hey, you guys got the car to beat. Like, I've been watching that. Like, they basically said, don't f*** this up.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, thanks for the vow of confidence.
Y'all are P1 and I think 15, 20, 25 lap average too. You guys were.
Which is great, but that was kind of our downfall at Vegas too, is like we needed a long run. And we just didn't get a super long run there at the end. But yeah, he was, when we won the second stage, like,
is it worth digging into, or at least elaborating on what is it makes a long run car versus a short run car? Do the fans generally understand that?
I mean, the easy answer is air pressure, right?
Air pressure and overall stiffness of the car. So if you make the car stiffer, it creates heat in the tires faster, which gives you a more fire off pace early for 4 or 5 laps, but you give it up on the back end because the car is not as compliant. And you're a little bit harsher on the tires, particularly at a place like Homestead. Like we saw, the 12 was probably a little more compliant, a little softer dampers, a little less body control. And after the end of a 15, 20, 30 lap run, his car has beaten the tires up less than somebody else that's stiffer and have probably a more rigid platform.
Short track
That's the layman's term.
Short track guys would say, more wedge fires off better, less wedge.
Yeah, a little bit more
in depth than that,
but yes.
I don't know if you can speak to this, but I feel like this is exactly what Joey Logano was hoping for, is this kind of playoff run.
Yeah.
And he said at the start of the playoffs, like, obviously Penske was down on speed. Everybody knew it. Joey was like, I just hope to survive the first two rounds, and then by that point, hope Penske finds something in the round of eight.
Yeah.
Happened to you guys.
That's exactly what, you know, his hope was, hope to survive, and then we can make our cars better by then. And I think there was a lot of hard conversations that went on at our shop. Obviously, I'm not privy to any of that, but they dug deep, and they've made some big strides in a short amount of time. You know, it's kind of like when the 9 car wasn't very good all year, and then they won the championship. So, but, you know, we go to Martinsville, a place I don't think we ran particularly well in the spring, but this race was pretty impressive for Blaney to put it up against the fence, and He did a good job. I mean, when we drove up there and passed Larson at the end of the second stage, that's something that you really, I think, pride yourself on in the playoffs, is like, we've gotten, in every stage this round, we've gotten points. And not just like 10, like 1 point. Like, we've gotten stage points. And that was a 57-point effort of a day, which is,
ooh,
you know, a big day. But obviously, you want to win, right? You want more. And we got lucky. We're lucky the five car hit the barrels when he did, because I think a lot of people didn't see it. But when I came to the left side on that stop, the left front lug nut cross-threaded. So I had to back it off and then put it back on. So it was a 16-second stop. So that would have, I mean, we would have probably lost three spots there. So it was like kind of a
blessing in disguise for sure. Because
yeah, huge blessing in disguise.
Now, had you guys not have the live mics where you can scream, hey, 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 what happens in an instance like that?
Yeah, you know, you can see them get shipped quite a bit like that. That nut would have came right off. Like it just stopped and I was like, whoa. But it was like, kind of knew the situation, right? And this is where just being a veteran is good, because see, like, it was crazy standing there because we were in like 27. So you're watching them come the pit road. So it's kind of a cat and mouse game, because if the five car pits, they pits a lap shorter
of
you,
flip you.
They're going to be in front of you. And that, you know, if your race goes green, that cycle's going to cycle. That's going to end the race. So we're like listening. We're ready for like 10 laps. Like we're ready to go. Just be ready to pit this thing. And they're like down the backstretch. I guess they must have heard the five car like bring it. And they're like, come this time, right now. So we're watching it, and I see the five like close up. And the five, we've talked about this. The five has been in position. Like he put the nine car in position, I think Atlanta a couple of years ago, where he just will kind of do that bonsai move. And if he gets through our quarter, he's further down pit road. So say he's in pit stall 15 and we're in 27. If he's on inside of us, we have to lift, let him go by, and then get underneath him.
Yeah.
So which I think
that's essentially passing him.
It's a badass move.
Yeah.
If you can pull it off. But it looked like, you know, Larson knows that the urgency is up, so he tries to close that gap. But sitting there on pit road, I'm like, oh, he's coming in hot. Oh, he ain't going to make it. I was like, holy shit, he hit the barrels. But then, like, my brain goes, okay, we're past the commitment line. Pit this thing. Because everybody's like, what do we do? I'm like, pit it, Omaha.
Yeah.
So we pit it, and, like, we get right away, Josh says, like, Denny's in turn, leader's in turn one.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, we have about 30 seconds. And then he said during the stop, Denny lifted, which means you have even more time.
Mm.
So, like, Zach Bryce is like, the right rear quarter, because he hit us and it separated the quarter panel and the crush panel. He's like, we got damage. So he tried to fix it. And then I come to the left side and I'm like, it was kind of chaos on the radio, because I'm like, no, 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 no. And Zach's looking at Hassler going, the right rear's got damage. And it, like, everybody was like, this is f-ing system overload here. But we were able to fix it and go on. And no one, I mean, dude, if that would have happened under green, I would have, NASCAR Twitter, Blaney Twitter would have had my ass.
Well, good thing for you, it didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, impressive. I mean, there's nothing you can do there, right? There's nothing you can do, but that's just where.
And all that's in the span of about 11.5.
Yeah. I mean, that's where be doing this stuff for a long time. You understand the rules, when pit road's open, when it's not. Like, listen to see where the car is that's leading. Because that, you know, if you don't make it out past that car, then you're tail end because you have to take the wave. So, yeah, and then, you know, Blaney, he did a great job. The 20 car just came out of nowhere and fired off better.
You know who didn't do a great job?
Who?
Kyle's close call of the week.
I mean, it would have been great if he made it, right? Like, I feel like at first glance, we talked about it.
I think
there's
a couple things here.
It looked like he was kind of going for the highlight reel, Kyle Larson. But when I go back and watch SMT, I don't know. I don't want to say that about him. But
I think it was probably 20% more aggressive because he knew the stakes. I think he did probably take into consideration he's already racing for a championship in Phoenix. He doesn't have to hit a fairway drive. You can go choke up and try to get on the green at a par four, right? Swing away.
Oh, bring out the three wood.
Tip, bring out the big stick. And he tried to bring out the big stick on this pit road entry because this potentially, if it plays out green, could be the race if that five car flips the 12.
It's going driver.
Run the tape.
Driver off the deck here.
In car camera with Kyle Larson down the backstretch. Cliff's told him, Kyle, we're going to pit this lap. Come this time. Need a good one. So they obviously call the 12 down. You're trying to wrap the line. Right now you have zero grip in your tires. For the viewers at home, you're just sliding, four-wheel slide. Gets it down here. Oh, locks it right from tire. Oh, no, barrels. It's easy to sit there on the couch and say what you should have done different, could have done different. I don't think people realize how dirty pit road entry is there. It's super sandy, and you're also on 30, 35 lap tires, so you're trying to woe the car down under brake, and every time you hit the brake, the car's just getting a little more out of control. And the combination of the 12 car being there, that extra car length worth of slowing down that Kyle anticipated, he didn't have, locked the right front tire up, and ended his day, which isn't that big of a detriment, right?
I actually think it's a good thing.
Why?
I know that sounds weird, but like Cliff and Kyle were chippy, like kind of going at each other a little bit.
Prior to this or after?
Yeah, when he was battling Suarez at the end of stage two and kind of fell off a cliff. And what he
finished? No pun intended.
Yeah.
What did Cliff say?
Cliff was like, Kyle said something about, you know, when he was like battling Suarez there and neither one were cutting each other any room. And
was the 99 was lapped down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he was getting lapped.
Okay. Yeah.
He was really fighting it.
Yeah. And so, like, Cliff came on the radio a few laps later. He's like, what's going on, bud? Or something like, what's going on with the car? Are you falling off? He's like, me and Migo ran the shit out of me. And Cliff came on and said, well, you let him back in. So I kind of disagree with that, but we'll let it go, I guess. And Kyle came on the radio and said, I think we all need to calm down. Let's reset. Then it went,
Kyle.
Was like,
Kyle taking the leadership role.
People were, because people on, I didn't have the scanner open, but like Twitter were like, oh, damn, Kyle and Cliff just turned into Truex and James Small. Like,
or is that a little Jimmy Chad?
Circa, or a little Jimmy Chad. Know,
circa yeah. 2008.
Yeah. And then this happened. I just feel like you don't learn as a team when everything's going great.
For sure.
You learn as a team when everything's going to shit. And if they had a race where it all could shit the bed, like to your point earlier, this is the place to do it. They'll come back stronger.
Well, you also go in there, if you're the five car, whether it's driver, whether it's Cliff, with the expectation, like, just give us the trophy and y'all race him for second, right? Because as good as Kyle Larson's been there his whole career, when your expectations are that high and it's not going exactly how you want it to go, or you feel like you're leaving a little bit on the table, whether Cliff thinks Kyle cut Suarez a break, whatever the instance is, right? Then you give up a stage win to the 12. That's where, because you expect to just absolutely dominate and the field's kept the gap a little bit closer than it had been previous years, get a little chippy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you can just say that they're expecting and the best out of each other, right? Just you're pushing each other to become.
But then you look at this later in the race and Kyle took total blame for it and felt horrible that he even caused you guys any damage to the car and obviously took himself out of the race. And then there was a photo surfacing post-race, Cliff gathered the troops.
That he come from the 14 team, and that's a Darren Grubb thing, something he started. So they do that
every
week.
Is that a typical drive? Okay, so that's every week.
We did it 12 years ago on the 14 car. Darren Grubb would do that. It was, if you're on the same plane, this is just for everybody that knows how race teams work. If the road crew and the pit crew are on the same plane, the road crew loads the truck up and the pit crew usually leaves. Well, then there could be a quarrel about what seats people get on the plane. So what we used to do on the 14 car back in the day was everybody would stay and help load the truck. And then we'd shut the gate, talk about the day, and we'd all go to the airplane. And that's something that Cliff has kept because, like, we fly on two separate planes. So it's pit crew plane, road crew plane. But that's something that kind of, hey, let's not be in a rush to get out of here. We don't come to the racetrack to leave. There's a lot of teams that go to the racetrack and they're worried about getting the best parking spot and get back to the airplane as fast as they can. Like, that's a real thing. But that's like, that's what that is. So I know Cliff is a good leader and he's won a couple kickball championships. But
he's so it's not often, though. I mean, how many of those Dairyman Grub meetings did Tony Stewart stick around for?
Tony Stewart was in a way different part of his career than Kyle Larson is. Yeah, but yeah, no, I know. Like Larson hung out and was there. And I feel like, dude, if you have your tail between your legs as a driver, you're going to go and face your team, right?
Yeah.
That's what strong guys do.
Yeah.
Like strong, that's what strong-willed people do. But man, for me, like when we won Talladega and we went to the roll the next week, it was like, all right, hey, on pit road, just don't. We don't want to have any meetings about the pit crew this week. Like, just don't lose forward momentum. Get the wheels on it. Nobody gets suspended. Let's not like be in the news at all.
Yeah. Right?
The last thing you want to do is hurt confidence.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's a trap. But like Kyle Larson, he races so much. And hell, he bought the All-Stars this week, the All-Star Circuit Championship from Tony Stewart. So
he did?
He gets it. Yeah, the High Limit bought the All-Star Circuit Champion. So, like, he's got enough going on to where, like, I feel like he's the type of guy where, like, he gets the homestead, he flies into Miami, and he's like, all right, this is highlight real Kyle Larson. Like, I'm going to put it on the fence like I do at Eldora, and everybody's going to watch this. I'm going to sell out of T-shirts. And that's what he was doing. That's what he was going for. And it just didn't, you know, in this instance.
I think they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
They're absolutely going
to
be fine.
But, like, the one I worry about was Reddick because it was supposed to be, like, you know,
the Larson
LeBron.
Larson Reddick show.
LeBron Kobe, you know, like, it's supposed to be. And it wasn't. Like, it just wasn't. I mean, Larson was dominating the day until he had his issue. But, like, Reddick was a non-factor. I mean, he wasn't bad.
He was fast at the end, but like
Third is not indicative of where he ran all day.
He lost a little bit of track position on pit road, and then he would get back up there, but then stall out.
Yeah.
Because, and I don't know if it's the car or what, but like it seemed like more people could run the fence.
That's exactly what he said.
Better than what they could in the past. Like before with the old car, it was those two.
Well, now you have the simulator and you can just crank out thousands of laps.
And you have SMT, so you see what they're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wait, they're lifting soon. Okay. That's okay.
Yeah,
this is what
they're using more brake pressure earlier in the corner and slowing your moving your min speed down. Yeah. Like I worked on it for 6 hours, right? For 2 weeks. Surely those guys that have an open appointment can just go in the simulator, and if they want to work on running the fence at home, so they can go work on it for 12 hours a week if they want to.
No secrets anymore. He also said he sucked on restarts. He's like, the combination killed me.
It was really line dependent on restarts, it seemed like. I know that what I liked was like Denny and Lambert going back and forth. Lambert's like, dude, inside's 3-1, you know, like this is where we need to pick. And Denny got into like, on old tires, top might be better. On new tires, the bottom might be better. But like, and then Ryan got frustrated with Denny. If there's one thing, and you know it for Michigan. If there's one thing that Ryan hates, it's half-ass sliders.
He'll also hang it out there too on your quarter. And it's almost like same situation with Denny that I was in with him in Michigan. You feel like you're cutting him a break by not just completely throwing a tight slide job on him, but then he wants to put on your door even tighter and then put you in a bad arrow spot.
Yeah.
And then get out and call you a hack, right? So I've been on the receiving end of that as well. So it's like, okay, I'm sure Denny is not going to throw another half-ass slide job on the 12 again. That's just how it works. It's like, okay, you want to call it out on national television or to some guy on the front stretch, like the next slide job won't be a half-assed one. It'll be a committed one.
Well, good. Then we can cross them back up and go underneath them instead of
you
pulling
cross,
each, no, instead of pulling each other back.
Well,
down.
No, you like if you try to do it right, you just try to put your right rear bumpers on the guy's left front headlight and not let him get out there.
Hey, look, he was raised by a World Outlaw champion, and the one thing World Outlaw guys hate is a half-ass slide job.
No
so
doubt.
It's passed down three generations to him, to where he does
Lou
not like half-ass slide jobs.
Yes, to Ryan,
that's it. Don't half-ass slide Ryan Blaney. He's gonna be mad about it.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Do your pennies stretch as far as they used to? Most likely it doesn't. Here's why. It took 200 years for the U.S. to print its first $5 trillion. Today, Washington has done that in just 3 years. The problem, every new dollar makes each one of your dollars worth less, robbing you and every other hardworking American. But you can stop this cycle of robbery by diversifying your IRA or 401k into gold, an asset that has stood the test of time. Our new sponsor, Birch Gold Group, has helped tens of thousands of Americans protect their retirement savings with physical precious metals. Now you can too. Get a free info kit on gold right now by texting the word Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, to 989-898. With an A-plus rating with the BBB, you're in good hands with Birch Gold. So get your free info kit by texting Corey to the number 989-898. Go check them out. Put some pennies in some gold. Big flip of the script with terms of playoff favorites with apparently the parts malfunction in the 11. Where was he running? Second?
Third or fourth.
Call it third. And goes in there, grabs a downshift, and she hangs right, ends up ending the 11's day. Don't know what broke besides traction. Traction broke. Sent the 11 car into below the cut line. That's where it sent him.
It's none of my business, and I don't care what happened or if he had a mistake or what. But for someone who was as vocal as he was about the schedule, if a NASCAR mandated part broke, I figured he'd be pretty vocal about that if that ruined his,
I think
ruined
that
his day. So it's been like an awkward week.
Podcast would have dropped on a Sunday night.
Yeah,
midnight.
It's like been an awkward week of
instead
what he's been talking
Tuesday
about.
Instead of a Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah.
But that's
Who knows?
That's on them.
What we don't know is this. What we do know is this. Denny knows how to get around Martinsville, and he's not going to have a choice.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Reddick's out, and I love Reddick to death, but
he hasn't run.
He had two shots. Yep. He was like, he called his shot at Vegas, didn't happen. His last best chance, in my opinion, was Homestead. Denny and Truex are too good there. Blaney is showing up every week.
He scores like, I think it's something.
And Byron's too high above the cut. Like, Byron's going to clinch in the second stage. So you have four guys fighting for one spot.
I've got a fun fact for you.
Let's hear it.
Hot take?
No.
Lukewarm?
No. It's just a fun fact for trivia.
Okay.
Stack of Pennies trivia.
Okay.
Do you know what Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson have in common?
Well, a couple things.
Yeah.
Can
you narrow it down?
In terms of Martinsville.
They've won a lot of races there. The nine? What? How many have they won?
A lot. A shit load. There's a lot of ding-dong and grandfather clocks in both there.
Jeff said he can't keep them in the house. Ingrid doesn't like it. It doesn't match the decor.
I could agree that the shade of brown doesn't quite match.
We have one in our dining room, and I'm trying to get rid of it. Not rid of it, but like
How
just moved.
Dare you?
Moved to the man cave.
Stop
I'm
it.
I'm losing. You put yours in the front of the house in the dining room.
I don't have a man cave, so it has to go in the house.
In the dining room, yeah. What do they have in common?
Come and wind my clock.
They both have won at Martinsville after the last time Denny Hamlin won at Martinsville.
Oh, so Denny hasn't won there in a long time.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
I guess I framed my question.
Nothing
really
gets by us.
Yeah, so two guys that are retired. Yeah, so what's it been? A couple of years since?
March of 15.
So I don't.
Truex has won like three of the last eight.
Look,
but I didn't realize it had been that long since Denny had done it.
If you look back at what Martinsville is, right, it's almost, the last race was almost a fuel mileage race. I don't know what it's going to be this time. I don't think that anybody will know until practice. But
different tire.
If right side tires come into play, it's going to be just a mix. It's not going to be a straight up,
yeah,
you know, like straightforward four tires, pit when the caution comes out.
Yeah.
It's not going to be that. You could get run into green flag pit stops, which opens a can of worms for everybody. So, I don't know. The 11 was very good here in the spring. I know they led a bunch of laps, but being 17 back, unless, you know, the reason that we had a 27-point swing on the day is because the 11 and the 19 both had, you know, failures, and we maximized stage points. So unless the 24, just their car starts on fire on the grid before the race, they should move right on and be fine. The scary part is, you know,
That last spot.
Dude, yeah. It's going to be.
I like your chances, though.
I'm not guessing yet.
I don't count Busher. He won Richmond.
Hang on a second. He finished behind me at Homestead.
Hey,
him and I were racing our ass off. One, because I actually felt bad. He's been on the show. I think he's like one of on the short list of like normal race car drivers that like go out and like shovel some cow and just show up. Like,
yeah, you're a big Busher guy.
Big Busher guy. So everybody within Spire Motorsports, I'll get on down a rabbit hole for a second. We broke down the season, excluded the Daytona 500. We broke down the season in 7 5 race mini seasons and like had these objectives to hit within each one. Average qualifying position, percentage of laps completed, overall points earned, and average finish. And if our average finish is above 20th for every 5 race block.
Pizza party
on Wednesdays, but also everybody gets like $500 or
nice.
Another paycheck or something like that. So we've hit three out of the seven. So I was 20th, and I'm like, I'm doing this one for the boys back at the shop. I don't care if you're in the playoffs. I hate it for you, pal. If you were 19th and 18th, I'd give it to you. But I'm keeping 20th for the boys back at the shop. So I raced his ass off. He was probably like, what is this guy doing? Racing me like it's the last lap of the championship. Like I'm Carl Edwards and Tony Stewart.
His beard. Did you see his beard this weekend?
Sorry, Chris.
For 20th.
There's a video of him doing
it. I have a reason. I'm not complaining.
You should have told him after the race.
There was, dude.
I'm like, sorry, dude.
Sorry, dude. I had to do it for the boys back at the show.
Did you see his beard's getting a little bit longer?
Yeah.
He looks, my neighbor is a guy that trains Santa Clauses. And I'm like, if Chris gets a little, that's what my neighbor has, a school for Santa Claus people.
Wow.
And I was like, man, looking at Chris Buescher, in a couple years, I should probably give him his number. Because he looks like he's on his way to be holly and jolly with that long beard. I was like, rosy cheeks. Yeah. I'm like, in his later years.
I don't think that's a compliment. I wouldn't say that to him.
Everybody loves Santa Claus.
Yeah, I like Santa Claus.
All right, back to the regular schedule program.
Everyone loves Santa Claus, but no one wants to be Santa Claus. It means you're old and you're fat.
Hey, look, I am to the stage of my life where I am Santa Claus for real. Like, you believe in Santa Claus, you don't believe in Santa Claus, you become Santa Claus. That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Where is Santa Claus? So,
Chris, I'm just sorry for the whole, for Corey.
Where were we?
Skip for where everybody.
Oh, home. Oh, you said you feel bad for Chris.
Well, I don't
feel bad for Chris.
But
if you have that bad of a race and you finish behind me with no radio button in Homestead, see you next year, pal. Congrats on the finish.
Yeah, if you need
and
some
good points.
Yeah, beer money. You could my guy next door train Santa Claus.
I don't even know if.
But the off season sometimes gets a little dry.
I don't even know if they think it's that much of a loss. Like for RFK, you've got to think this is a win.
Unbelievable year.
The turnaround for that program. I mean, Brad Keselowski's running like top three every week.
Mm-hmm. I don't think.
And they got another driver to the round of eight. Like,
great. Yeah, but I don't know that if you go in there,
most
like,
improved
they
team.
They want to be championship.
No,
guys,
I know.
Right?
I'm sure they're pissed. But I'm just saying, in the grand scheme of things, like big picture, rock solid.
I think he could win this weekend. Like, I'm not counting him out because
what?
Dude, the 17th?
They won. They won Richmond. Like they're
hot
not
take from Florida.
They had a rough race at Homestead, right? But you couldn't get much different. And if he gets track position and qualifies well and has
won
a good pit stall, like I'm not like the 17 isn't far fetched for me.
There's a reason why he's in the championship eight.
Yes, correct. And they can. And
could
now,
you imagine if?
Oh my God, I'd lose.
If it ends, and there's no disrespect, if it ends up being Bell, Buescher, and Blaney. To round it out against Larson, who had that on their bingo card? Freaking nobody when they filled out their. No offense, but you guys were. It was just
no
a speed thing.
Taken.
It was a speed thing. I'm so happy for
I
you.
I had
guys.
Us penciled in making it a whole time, all the way along.
Who had Bell and Buescher and Blaney? I'm sorry.
You know, I almost wish Kyle Larson didn't win so it could be all bees.
Yeah.
Blaney, Buescher, Bell, and Byron.
Maybe. Briscoe.
Killer bees.
Yeah.
Killer bees heading to Phoenix.
Speaking of killer bees, how about some pit road boats and woes?
Oh, let's do it.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
For me, race day is a great reason to shut down the laptop, put the phone on silent, and simply enjoy the driving. But Mobile One wants to remind you that you can get that same kind of escape any day of the week. How? By simply hopping in your car, rolling the windows down, and hitting the road. No emails, no calls, no work, just freedom. Mobile One, for the love of driving. Pit Road Boats and Woes time, guys. There was a couple woes in the cup race, but first, we want to break down some tape from the truck race from the dog that got shot to oblivion. Breaking down this, don't know what happened besides there was two inexperienced guys coming down pit road, and the guys that got the short end of the stick were those dogs on pit roads, particularly the tire carrier that took his two tires and got blasted like a Bryce Harper home run over the wall. Run the tape. You break it down.
It's not great. God. Dude, he goes right over the wall. So let's start off with the tire carrier, right? So the one that we all saw getting carted off was the tire changer who ended up in between the wall and the car. But the one who got launched over the tire carrier, the one that got launched over the pit wall, Tyreek McCord, he's like 6'4", 250.
Dog.
Right? And he wasn't even, he's like a jackman. I guess it was a doubleheader. Mm-hmm. So from what I understand, like he wasn't even supposed to be on that car that day. They were like, hey, we need a carrier. Can you just jump in? Yeah, man. First stop, you're getting bounced off the light
the
pole behind the, like, dude, that's
scary.
It's scary. And that's like, okay, so I went through the approval process like earlier in the season. to run a modified at Richmond. And they were like, yeah, you don't have enough big car experience. And that's fine. No harm, no foul. But I think when we look at the approval process.
You're a little sour about it.
No, I was fine with it. Because
you're a little sour about
it. I mean, but when I look at the approval process for these, you know, kids that are coming into the truck series, Xfinity series, ARCA doesn't have as many pit stops as it once did. Like when you were going ARCA racing, you were
live stops
every week. And it's kind of moved away from that. I think there needs to be something that maybe a school or a training, like a training day at the pit school where you learn about pit road. And like in that situation, if we run the tape back, the first mistake is that, well, one, the 22 drives right through their box. So there's an orange line there that he's supposed to stay out of. And he completely impedes their pit stop. But this all could have been handled if the 33 stops short. I don't know where the 33 is going. He just blows right through his stall. So I don't know what his cue is. If he misses it, it can't be easy to be running pit road speed, looking at your tack, and then
hot tires.
But then also trying to find your pit stall. But there's also a point, too, that like these young kids need to understand. They're probably pitting second time by, right?
Down a lap.
And it's not iRacing where you're just going to run through and back up. Like there's a car there. If you practice on iRacing, you drive through the car in front of you. It doesn't hit, you know, you can't get any damage on pit road. Like there's a real life element of like, okay, hey, I got to know what's going on here before I just show up and buy a ride. So I'm not trying to like really crap on them, but
so
it's
who,
a really tough so look here. And it's hard for me to defend so anybody.
Who are these guys?
Memphis Villarreal. Three career truck starts, making his third, driving for Josh Rayum. A couple mistakes. One, my man doesn't have – this is probably his, I don't know, third pit stop in his entire life down pit road. Right?
Mason Maggio doesn't help him at all.
Mason Maggio driving the 22 is driving right through his box, so it jams up his pit crew guys. But yeah, he comes in.
God.
They had nowhere to
like
go.
Like John Force, bro.
They had nowhere to go, and it's just like.
It starts with the 22 for sure.
It starts with the
and
22.
33 probably couldn't really see.
But he came in
it's
not the 22's
too.
Fault.
You're right.
Like, if you were racing for the win there, like
yeah.
you want to shadow those guys back, and it's the guy in second's job to leave a gap so his guys can get out in front.
1,000%.
Now, if they were going duck pin bowling, my man Memphis got a perfect strike.
Well, the reason that they didn't get out there is because the 22 was there, right? If he's going to blow long, you're just – and the 22's not there, you just run the other side of the car, watch him go long,
yeah.
And you push him back. But one, he didn't leave a gap, so they jump. The 22, obviously, he didn't drive straight through their box, but he cut through it, so that should have been a penalty. But the fact that he went long there is just like, okay, we need to have – I feel we need to have some sort of pit road training because, like, on the track – is one thing, right?
Yeah.
But we have stuff instilled on the track to where safer barriers, sand barrels, better seats, better safety equipment. But when you get on pit road, and pit road is an essential part, right? The last thing you want to do is have them take pit stops away for safety. But there needs to be some safety training. And there might already be. I don't know. I've never had to go to safety training for trucks or Xfinity or anything. But there needs to be some pit road safety training that goes along with getting these kids approved. I'm not trying to crap on Memphis, but obviously he doesn't really understand everything that's going on here. And he shouldn't. He's only three races in to his career. But hopefully it's a big learning moment. But, yeah, I mean.
So who was the carrier that got smashed into? So there's two. There's carrier holding two tires. He got launched over the wall.
Bro, he got the rear changer of the 22, too. Because he blew through his box.
It's just cut
off right here. Yeah, and then, but if you see, when Tyreek gets blown over the wall like that, his tire goes too and hits another guy behind the wall.
Mm.
So, like.
How bad were the injuries, Ryan?
From what I understand,
Corey Seeleg, and right there, you see him getting carted off. I mean, he's a 200-pound guy that just got ragdolled, but I believe he broke some ribs and a pelvis.
I think
he had to go into surgery, but it's tough. It's tough for Josh Rayum. It's tough for their whole organization.
Well, I'm sure NASCAR's taking it seriously, and Wayne Auton was filling in a series director at Homestead, and Wayne has been around a very long time. This is not the first. We go back to Charlie Plank, another guy in a truck. Thank God he was great to go.
Yeah,
but,
and championship guy driving that truck, right?
Yeah, so we're seeing some pretty significant impacts to human life on pit road in the truck series, and I'm sure NASCAR's going to gather up the boys and
well, it's a dangerous job, too, right? I didn't become a pit crew guy because I was worried about my safety, right? I wasn't like, I need a good, safe job. I'm going to jump out in front of race cars for a living.
Pit wall, though, like,
Especially that pit wall, it's huge. That's the biggest pit wall that we go to. But yeah, it's just tough for everybody involved.
Hope he's okay.
Obviously, it's a little bit frustrating as a picker guy towards the driver. But I would say that we use the way that we get better from this instead of just harping on the mistake is, like I said, we look into pit road training for rookies that are coming into these new series. Because they're not getting in an ARCA anymore as much as they used to.
Or you pick 4 or 5 ARCA races a year that have live stops that you have to go do it to get checked off to go be a truck driver.
Yeah. And it's just, as the sport progresses, it's like, okay, these kids aren't getting live stops in ARCA anymore. Now we need to learn it. I just hope we don't go to
untimed
hot dog
stops.
Breaks.
Yeah, no. Because
yeah, I'd
that
hate that
takes
too.
So much out of, and I know it would be very cost effective for the teams, and truck teams want to save every cent they can, but I hope that's not the direction that we go, is to find a solution, because it is one of the most exciting elements in NASCAR racing. I don't care what series.
For sure. And I don't think that there's chatter about that. Obviously, those standalone races for trucks, they do hot dog breaks, which we could all make a strong argument that it doesn't help the show at all. But especially companion races, we need to have pit crew guys down there, because those are the dogs for sure. So what was that old boy's name? One more time.
Memphis?
No.
Corey Seeleg is the one that got hurt, and then Tyreek McCord is the one that got launched over the pit wall. Mm. So yeah, that's one of the worst ones I've seen. I haven't seen somebody get launched over pit road like that, especially a 250-pound dude. But glad that they're all going to be on the mend and they're dogs, so they'll be back on pit road soon. But they're not the dogs of the week.
They are not the dogs of the week.
What? Got to fast forward to Sunday to meet.
They're
the dogs
of the day on Saturday.
They
ain't the dogs of the week.
They had it.
They earned it.
It was a rough day. Rough day for them on Saturday. But yeah,
RUFF rough.
Sunday we saw the pace was down a little bit. The 6 car had really been laying it down. They took a log off the fire. The 2 car wins the day.
Hmm.
Maybe my favorite pit crew on pit road.
Why is that?
I was on that team. They were my teammates for a long time. I got moved to the 12 car. Obviously it made them better because they were P1. on pit road this weekend. I think they had a low 9 average. They did the first 8 that we've done in house at Penske. So super excited for them. They've had, it's been a tough year for the 2 bunch, missing the playoffs, and they've really focused on just being a great pit crew and figuring out where they can pick up time for themselves. So when the car performance comes back around, they're ready for it, and to be able to go and be P1, I think when you look at the beginning of the season, there's a couple races that you circle as a pit crew guy, and Homestead's one of them, where you're like 4 tires all day. I want to be P1 there, Darlington, Coke 600. And for them to go there and crush the day, that was huge for them. So
shout them out. Who are they?
My favorite guys. First and foremost, front tire changer, Keyston France. I think he's maybe the hardest working tire changer that I've ever seen.
Dog?
Yeah, he gets after it. Jesse Mills.
Dog.
Maybe one of the best humans I've ever met in my life. He's Jeffrey Earnhardt's best friend. Hmm. They just
do they go stick their hand down holes and pull out catfish?
Hey man, when Noodle called me a 40-pounder with my forearm. Yeah, big Noodling fan.
I only lost 2 fingers, but it was worth it.
Yep.
So I threw it back.
Poppy Chulo, Pat Gray, Monmouth University, New Jersey's own.
Dang.
Pat Gray.
Jersey dog.
Pit crew Pat. Stud. One of my best friends. Steven Taugis, you know how people from Wisconsin sometimes get a bad rep for being weird?
That one's correct.
Steven Taugis is one of the people that's weird from Wisconsin.
Weird dog.
Absolute stud of a rear tire changer, and he's been around a long time, and a guy that was really good at 5 lugs that made the transition over to 1 lug and just continues to crush it. He does his signature kick of the bumper when the car's leaving. And like two weeks ago, he went to go kick the bumper, and Pat didn't pull the jack out, and he stepped on the jack and fell. he was pretty mad about it. But he
can't win them all.
No. And then maybe a guy that I've been with for more than half my career, Andrew Lackey, the gas man. He was an avid fisherman, watched 1 season of Yellowstone. Now he owns a horse farm in the mountains of North Carolina.
Wow.
He's just he's got the pants that are like so starched and pressed that when you take them off, they just stand by themselves.
He works in the right place.
Cowboy dog.
He's
Gastonia's
own.
He's from Gastonia?
That's my story. I'm sticking to it. Right. Now, he's from a town called Kayser, but it's close enough to Gastonia.
I'd claim that.
But yeah, he's definitely one of the best gas men on pit road. He's won, you know, he won all them Xfinity. He's probably won 5 or 6 Xfinity championships, Daytona 500. He's one of the guys that is just a top notch in his position. So big up to those guys. They've been grinding it out, and I'm pumped for them. You know, I spend a lot of time with them. It feels like sometimes I spend more time with those guys than my own family. So, it's always awesome to see your teammates succeed.
So how certain is it at this point of the year that you know that who you're pitting with right now is who you're going to be pitting at the Daytona 500 with?
I don't think you ever know that, right? Because you can never tell. Like, does somebody get hurt and then you put a young kid in and he outperforms and it's like, oh, okay, this is a little bit better fit. Hey, I don't know. We're going to probably use this kid. Or, you know, do people move on? Is there contract stuff that comes up? I'd say at our place, we're pretty locked into who we have. And I think there was a gas man on the 21 that was like going to go do other things. And Bolins was like, hey, I want to work on, I want my team for next year so we can start working together now. So like, if you're going to go do something else, that's fine. We'll use the next guy in line. I think that happens quite a bit with a lot of teams, especially at our place. Like, if you're going to leave, then just leave and we'll, start getting ready for next year. Yeah. I don't see many changes coming, but you're 1 week away, one
injury away.
Well, and you're also like right now, the consequences are huge. Like in the playoffs, wheels fall off, loose wheels. Like I feel like as a picker guy, you're always 2 weeks away from losing your job, right? Because like it's never certain. It's just like being an NFL kicker. But it's like I feel like the pressure of the playoffs. I was thinking about this because like it's the pressure of the playoffs is pretty immense, and it gets mounted every time you move. Like to the next round. And as a pit crew guy in the playoffs, it's like being a field goal kicker with your season on the line.
Every time.
Every time you do a pit stop, right? Yeah. Like that's what it is. It's like, all right, kicker, go get it through the uprights, right?
Yeah, you have one job.
And it's 19 to 20 and you got to get it through there, Yeah. And if you get it through, you win a race. Well, it's like you get it through and then you move on to the next one. You get it through because at any time, like even with a kicker, right? If they miss a field goal in the first half, it's not going to like, you can't directly point at that and say, that's why we lost the game.
Right.
But you can, if you have a bad pit stop in the first stage, right? You don't get stage points. You can directly look at that and say, okay, that.
Yeah, we had a bad stop.
Or you lose position. So it's.
Speaking of the 21, what happened to Harrison Burton? Finished dead last.
He blew up.
Never mentioned on the broadcast. Ever. Never heard a thing about it.
Look, he helped us win the second stage, but he blew up.
Early. Must have been.
It was the end of the second stage because he pushed us by Larson.
Yeah.
But then they were blowing up, and I think it kind of shows you a code. So, like, they pitted at the end of the stage, and they were like, okay, this thing's blown up. Okay. Let's just go to the garage. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. That was their day.
Rough day.
They've definitely, it seems like him and Bolins are meshing. They seem like they're doing better. And obviously Wilson's doing a good job with his team too.
Yeah.
Dogs of the week.
Dogs.
That's it. Undeniable.
This week could be a funky week. Martinsville is going to be, there's going to be a lot to look forward to on Saturday, right? It's a tough pit road. You can really get into a bind if you don't have a good qualifying position to be able to pick a good pit stall. I think there's only 6 openings. So if you got to qualify in the top 6, we're like Homestead this
weekend.
There's
20 openings.
Yeah, it's one of the places where it's really tight. Pit boxes are really tight. It's not as hard as far as pit stops go because the cars are going slower. So like Charlotte, where the pit road speed's like 50 or 55 and the pit boxes are small, it's a little bit more challenging to get out there. But like Martinsville, the pit road speed's a little bit slower. You feel like you're on top of each other all day, but if you can qualify well and get yourself an opening out or a really good pit stall, it'll really pay dividends. And pit stall ones, I've said it 100 times a year, it's a trap, right? It happened to us with a 2-car, it happened to 41
earlier
in the season. They've moved pit stall one back to being pit stall two, and it's just enough launch room where you can launch and speed at the end of pit road. And it's a super challenging pit stall because you're around the corner, so you can't see your car coming. So sometimes you tend to be late jumping. Also in the corners, the pit boxes go from flat and right at the line, they kick up to being banked. Mm. So you can be doing a lot of your work on uneven surface, which isn't really bad for a front changer, but the carriers that are running up there, they would almost drop the tire off, run uphill, and then you're running downhill, and it's kind of pushing you into the car. So we were in 40, I think, the last time we were here, and it gets really congested down there. So it's definitely
besides the first one, what's the next three best boxes.
Man, I can't tell all these people. I think there's stuff on the front stretch. I would go out and say that if I qualified on the pole and I was a crew chief, I'd probably pick 10.
That's the last opening. The last one opening out.
It's the opening out on the front stretch. The one we were at with your modified.
Yeah.
We won a race.
Yeah, we about lost a lap in pit road, so that wasn't a box selection.
Corey's going to swipe it from you.
What, 10?
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully we can qualify again.
I'm not picking it. I'm just saying, I'm not a crew chief. It's well above my pay grade. Let me just go
He's
on here and say this.
Right
I have absolutely no say on what pit stall we take. I just graciously go to the pit box, set the pit stall up, and try to do my best pit stops.
That's right.
Yeah, it's well out of my jurisdiction.
It's a good question, though.
But if you qualify fifth and we qualify sixth, man, and 10's not taken, leave it for us.
I'll relay that message to Sparks. It's okay. Above my pay grade, too.
Thanks.
All right, so penny stacker of the week or penny for your thoughts?
Penny for your thoughts questions, because I want to give the penny stacker of the week ample time because they have earned their right.
When we come back?
Sure.
Stay with us.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Time now for Penny for Your Thoughts. We love getting your questions. Keep them coming. This one from Tyler C. Turner.
The GOAT.
With Josh Berry making 7 starts and Josevar scheduled for 8, are they both ineligible to run for Rookie of the Year and Cup in 2024?
You know, I don't really think that we have a very good idea what dictates if you're a rookie or not.
Do you want to know why that is?
Sure. Tell me.
Because now you sound very excited. No, NASCAR has not publicly ever stated what that number of starts is.
I thought they did. I thought it was seven.
They say it's a case-by-case basis.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, it changed when you could declare points, right? Like when you declare points for what series, I think that's got something to do with it. And like when you fall in the situations like this year where Carson Hocevar, right, gets an opportunity, what's he going to do? Say, I'm not going to drive that because I want to be Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. So let me put it out there like this. I think Josh Berry and Carson Hocevar should be able to contend for Rookie of the Year. For all intents and purposes, they are rookies.
Well, they're going to be claiming cup points for the first time in their career.
Okay. And I think NASCAR looks at a situation where you're filling in for an injured driver and have been called up very differently. Like, I don't think they count it against you as much. Okay. So I think, not that Carson was, Noah's situation was a bit different than Chase Elliott's and Alex Bowman. But Josh Berry's situation, I think, because he was called up due to injury.
Is Ty Gibbs a rookie this year?
He is. Mm. Mm-hmm. It was Ty Gibbs and Noah Gragson.
Okay.
So that battle took care of itself. John Hunter Nemechek obviously will not be eligible.
He already ran a year cup.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would imagine it's these two. I agree with you. I think NASCAR will give status to them both.
Yeah. Who do you like there?
Yeah, I was going to say, then it becomes, what do you guys think? Then it becomes a good little battle. I mean, I know Stewart Haas Racing is down and out. He's replacing Harvick in the 4. Hocevar is red hot right now, and anything he gets in, he'll be an Aspire machine replacing Ty Dillon. So who do you guys like there?
Is Dale Jr. running next year? Because he wrecked Josh Berry this weekend, from what I understand.
Drove straight into him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
that was rough.
As much as I've paid attention, like in his truck series, I think Phil Gould's really good, and I think he's got good people around him. I think he's taken the 42 to the next level. So, like, I don't want to bet against Carson Hocevar right now. Like, I think he's doing really well.
Yeah, he's got confidence. And
Stewart Haas, I truly hope that, like, Stewart Haas is going to – they have good people there. They are going to make I hope in my brain that they are going to make some big shifts in the offseason, that Ford is obviously going to come out with some new parts for their car. And I hope it's a big pickup for Stewart Haas next year. So we'll see what that transition, you know, to Spire is. I hope that Hocevar.
I'm going Hocevar.
Yeah, but he's your teammate.
Yeah.
I'll go Hocevar too, bro.
Thanks, man.
Make it three.
Let's go.
Yeah, I think I'm going both Spire, I guess all three Spire cars above three out of the four Stewart Haas cars next year.
Someone asked Denny Hamlin, where do you expect?
Wait, is Zane Smith a Zane Smith?
He's
in
his
there
third
too?
Spire Cup car.
But he'll be a rookie too?
Zane
no?
Smith would
oh,
be a
they, yeah, there's
rookie
another,
as well.
Yeah.
Mm.
That would be a good rookie.
Well, in-house rivalry.
Little rookie yeah. on
rookie.
You
have to get
action.
In between the kids.
Watch
children.
Out,
yeah. Children, stop.
I'm not going to put Corey in the middle of that. I'm not going to put him on the hot seat and ask him to choose between his teammates in the rookie of the year battle who wins out.
Both those guys are really good.
Because Zane has a couple cup starts under his belt, too. I know that he's ran the 500, a couple RWR starts,
yep.
a Roush start last year.
Yeah, Gateway was crushing it.
They all have around a half dozen. Next question, Jeremy Sparks asks, Corey, as you continue to run further towards the front, do you actively pursue running in other series like Xfinity to close the gap on racecraft at the front of these races, especially with restarts being so critical?
I mean, there's a whole lot of financial aspects to try to work out, to try to jump in a car that's capable of running in the top five and competing for wins, and there's just very limited amount of cars that can do that. The only cars that you can find a sponsor for $150,000 at least to go jump into, whether it's the Hendrick car or an extra junior motorsports car, but it's just really hard to find something that's good. And then also expect to jump in something and compete in the first week for a win. So
I think that's a common misconception because you're a Spire Cup driver and Spire runs in other series that you are free to jump into an Xfinity or a truck at will when you want to.
Yeah, that's not the case. Somebody's got to pay for it. And it's hard for me to ask my partners that we show a lot of value to on the Cup side to, you know, spend the same amount for an Xfinity or a truck and get a very small percentage of what they get back for the Cup car. So, yes, would I like to do more races and, you know, get some National Series wins under my belt? Absolutely, but hasn't been in the cards in the last 8 years, and I don't expect it to be a regular thing.
Does Spire come to you and ask if you want to?
It's more of like, hey, do you know anybody that want to pay for a couple truck races? And the answer is no. And then we just don't talk about it anymore.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Is there anything that's more cost effective? So, like, I asked that with Larson running sprint cars every week. And he's making money doing that, though. Mm-hmm. And I asked that with William Byron running, you know, super late models. I know that when I worked for Tony and he would go run World Outlaw stuff, like Tony was a known poor restarter. He could race and have great racecraft, but like his restarts weren't very good. When he would be racing sprint cars every week, his restarts would be better because those things are so aero dependent. You got to f***ing get it on a restart.
Yeah.
So he would just be inevitably better when he came back to the Cup Series. Or something that more is like more cost effective that you would go run, like, and I'm not going back to the Snowball Derby with you, but is there something that's more cost effective that you would go run maybe 10 races a year in?
I'd love to do 10 super races a year.
What about did the modified help you at all when you go do it or not?
I think if anything, it just helps you with confidence, right? You show up and you can win and get a grandfather clock for the house. Always gives you some confidence, but you're only as good. I mean, Chris Bell really hammered it this weekend. You're only good as the car you're sitting in, right? And you can be as good as 25th one run, and they can work on it, and you can turn around and be a cup. You can be a winner. So he gave a lot of credit to his crew, and I think that whether you race six times a week or whether you race one time a week, the horse you're sitting on a Sunday afternoon has to be pretty strong if you want to go compete for wins in the Cup Series.
He said 80 or 90% car, 10 or 20% driver.
He beats that drum in every interview he does, like that is his. He will put that on his tombstone.
Yeah. Like,
thanks for the guys back, Christopher Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Such and such and such and such.
Yeah, he says 60% car in dirt racing, 40% driver, but like asphalt racing, he said just in general, asphalt racing is 90% car, 10% driver. I think is what I heard him say on Gluck's podcast.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, hey, look, but at this level, the driver has a very big input on making the car go good.
Because
your feedback, you're the only one that's feeling what the car is doing. So you got to put the pen to paper to your crew chief and your team to make it better.
For sure. And you got to stay engaged throughout the course of the day and not give up and roll over. He had every opportunity to do that. Right. And you're also working on the simulator and you're spending countless hours trying to talk over it. It's not just like, well, the 90% car is f***ed up today. Like the hay is in the barn by about Wednesday after you sim for 6 hours. And that's usually where the money's made, right? So that's why that preparation's even more important as ever. So continue to fire over your hashtag Penny for your thoughts.
Yeah.
Questions.
Good ones this week. And now Time for...
Drum roll, please.
A very, very special edition of Penny Stacker of the Week.
All right, guys. We have had several people make t-shirts, make signs, hats even. People buy some merch. But we have never, ever in the history of a podcast had somebody permanently emblazon themselves with the opening riff, Gasoline, Rubber, and Victory on their forearm. But by God, the Penny Stacker of the Year candidate and winner is Hannah DiMartino.
Wall Stadium.
Holy.
My girl went
moly.
All in.
Hey, it's a cool tattoo.
Ink, baby.
Put the photo up there, Sean. Show them. Gasoline, Rubber, and Victory is the opening of the show. In addition to stacking them deep, selling them cheap, I was referring to, when I said that, the nothing but the tastiness of a Martinsville hot dog wrapped in some aluminum foil. So I'm glad that she has that saying on her forearm forever. And it takes dedicated listeners like Hannah to keep this show on the road.
Amen.
How many?
So there's still potential.
There's still
to
time.
Dethrone her.
Yeah.
For Penny Stacker of the Year.
For Penny Stacker of the Year.
What do you get if you're Penny Stacker
But the
of the
threshold
t-shirt?
Bar.
What are you going to, you giving away some swag? What are you doing?
Good question.
You have a merch line. Your merch line is strong.
How about this? We got some sweet merch. We also have some sweet Stacking Pennies Yeti. Yeah. Or not Yetis. Arctics.
Yep.
Yeah.
I might
edit
even get
that out.
I might, yes. We even have some sweet Stacking Penny Arctic tumblers. I believe if you emblazon your body with a permanent tattoo, you deserve a cooler.
Yeah, something. You got to give her something. And we were thinking this. At the end of the season, we were going to do a Stacking Pennies award show. So, like, not Dog of the Week, but Dog of the Year.
Yes.
Penny Stacker, not of the week, but of the year. So
I feel like we already have this one in the
bag.
Yeah,
she already might have locked it up with two to go. She's like Kyle Larson. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, you're already going that far. You think he's a lock for Phoenix?
Well, Larson locked in.
Oh, you're talking about in Phoenix. I'm talking
hopefully
about Forza.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hopefully
no.
She doesn't hit any sand barrels on the Jersey Turnpike this week.
Yeah. Watch where you're going. So, wow, that's dedication. Yeah. We have a lot of dedicated listeners, people listening with their kids on the way to school. Appreciate that.
You guys have ink?
I got a bait house on my arm.
He has a long Dunk Silvers on his shoulder.
That thanks right for Johnny the Merriman.
We'll get into that another day. The last thing my grandmother told me before she passed away was don't get a tattoo.
You got
for
tattoos?
Real?
You have any
tattoos?
Yeah,
she said that?
That was the last thing she said.
Wow.
You have tattoos?
It wasn't with her dying breath, but she told me that, like, you know, a couple days.
Whatever you do.
Corey.
She said don't get a tattoo on that precious little body.
Oh.
Yes?
I got
grandma?
Two of them.
Yeah,
I'm 14.
I'll get more. I got two. I'm going to get some more.
You seem
are you
going like
to get an Arby's on the other arm?
Maybe.
You guys seem, I could see you like a sleeve guy.
Yeah, maybe. Let's see where life goes.
Stacking them deep and selling them cheap. And
yes.
you might be able to get Penny Stacker of the Year.
Yes.
Nah. Hashtag DOTW. Dog of the week.
If you were to get Dog of the Week tattoo, what kind of dog caricature do you put on there?
Not getting a dog.
Or would you
put a Georgia Bulldog or like a Rottweiler with a spike collar?
Yes, with a chain.
Ooh, yeah. Maybe. With a kickball
I remember
chain.
Or a dog wearing a half
name?
Shell.
What was the spotter's name?
That's what we need.
The spotter that
that's
used to spot
it.
For
that's
Kenseth.
That's the logo.
He used to spot for Kenseth.
Frank.
Matt. No, yeah.
I saw him Publix the other day.
Yes, C. It starts with a C. We're going to win the Daytona 500 again. That guy. He would get every big race and like
tattooed on his calf.
Tattoo on his calf. Like Daytona 500 on his calf. Xfinity champion on his calf.
What is that freaking guy's name?
I don't know. He'd be mad if you didn't know.
Chuck said Austin Dillon in my ear. He doesn't get on his calf. He got on his ass cheek.
Those guys all went and got Daytona 500 tattoos on their ass cheeks after that.
Sparks has a Daytona 500 ass cheek tattoo.
I doubt I'll ever have children, but even that I wouldn't. We're not doing ink. Not here.
Gosh, why? What's that guy's
Can't
name?
Can't do it.
Damn it.
He's from Long Island. We're going to win the Daytona 500.
I saw him in Publix the other day. I saw his calf before I saw his. I'm like, oh, yep. I know who that guy is.
It's something with a C, I think.
Sure.
Randy an ink guy?
No. No tattoos for Big Rand.
Just like 7'5" on his arm.
Yes. On his chest. I don't know what I would get.
Mike Kalinoff. Yep.
Shout out Big Mike.
Wow.
That's commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I don't hate it. If I won the Daytona 500, I'd probably get a tattoo too.
If we win the championship this year.
Oh.
I'm not getting a tattoo.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Why?
Hang on. Can I build a case?
Yes.
Like if running an Ironman is, I haven't inked it on my bucket list, but it's kind of like, I would think about it once racing's over. I feel like if I ran an Ironman, I would get the Ironman tattoo on your calf. I feel like that's just like a rite of passage.
Really?
Oh, is that like a thing they do?
Like even though I had the scrawny, like, I wish I had like Shane Van Gisbergen's calves, I would have to have like a small, super small logo as small as my calves are, but I still get the logo.
I didn't know that people did that when they did Ironman.
Yeah. They'll get the little M thing with the little circle on top.
I don't need if we win.
But if I won the Cup Series championship, I believe I'd get a tattoo.
Like, what was I going to say? I won the Cup Series championship.
Yeah, 2020.
Like, I could see maybe getting a little trophy.
With like pennies under it. And
I don't
then,
know. Like, it's super popular. I see,
no,
I see
I'd
a
probably
lot of,
would get it under my eye, like a teardrop of the Bill France trophy.
Okay, yeah. Post Malone.
Like Jelly Roll?
No. Like Jelly Roll.
We're off the. We're,
you do love Jelly Roll.
Listen, I'll make you a deal. If we win the Cup Series championship, you have to get a Bucky's tattoo.
Nuck if you buck.
You got to get the Bucky above your above
terrible
your knee.
Bet.
Yeah.
And then if
but that's on the short list of things that I would get.
If you lose and you don't win a championship, you have to get Hornets, like Hornets? In purple and teal.
Yeah.
But the old
lukewarm tattoo.
The old school Hornets tattoo is or logo is kind of gangster.
I know.
Yeah.
I like the colors too. The whole thing. And it's a vibe.
You know who else is gangster? Our listeners. Our penny stackers each and every week. Continue to like, rate, share, rate, review, all the things. Appreciate you guys listening to Spare Change with us on Sunday mornings, digging into our interviews. We've been doing a lot of stuff, grinding super hard to give you guys the best possible content that we are capable of giving, and I hope you're enjoying it. Only a couple more races left, guys. Two more to go, and this next one locks in our championship contenders. Who's it going to be going to the paper clip? This is Stacking Pennies, guys. Appreciate you guys. We are presented by Mobile One. Keep on stacking pennies.